आकाशवाणी प्रेजेंट्स मॉर्निंग न्यूज। गुड मॉर्निंग, आई एम अभिषेक मुखोपाध्याय। द हेडलाइंस। प्राइम मिनिस्टर नरेंद्र मोदी होल्ड्स डेलीगेशन लेवल टॉक्स विद जॉर्डन्स किंग अब्दुल्ला सेकंड बिन अल हुसैन इन अम्मान, एम्फसाइजेस द कॉमन अप्रोच टू काउंटर टेररिज्म। Indian economy growing at 8.2% against 3.2% global growth, says Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman. NIA files charge sheet against 7 accused in Pahalgam terror attack case. India's unemployment rate declines to 4.7% in November, lowest since April. Vijay Diwas has been celebrated today, commemorating India's victory over Pakistan in the 1971 war. And in Under-19 Asia Cup cricket, India to take on Malaysia in Dubai this morning. Prime Minister Narendra Modi held delegation-level talks with Jordan's King Abdullah II bin Al Hussein in Amman yesterday, underlining the close partnership between the two nations as they prepare to commemorate 75 years of diplomatic relations. Prime Minister Modi commended Jordan's resolute stand against terrorism, extremism and radicalization, emphasizing that India and Jordan share a common approach to countering terrorism. The Prime Minister praised King Abdullah II's leadership in promoting moderation, recalling the first interaction on the sidelines of the United Nations in 2015.
इस वर्ष हम अपने राजनयिक संबंधों की 75वीं एनिवर्सरी मना रहे हैं। यह मील का पत्थर हमें आने वाले कई वर्षों तक नई ऊर्जा के साथ आगे बढ़ने के लिए प्रेरित करता रहेगा। मुझे पूरा विश्वास है कि बैठक से हमारे संबंधों में गति और गहराई एक नया रूप धारण करेगी। हम ट्रेड, फर्टिलाइजर्स, डिजिटल टेक्नोलॉजी, इंफ्रा और पीपल टू पीपल टाइज जैसे क्षेत्रों में सहयोग आगे बढ़ाएंगे।
वी हैव मोर फ्रॉम अ वेस्ट एशिया कॉरेस्पोंडेंट।
With India being Jordan's third largest trading partner and bilateral trade valued at $2.8 billion, Prime Minister Modi proposed an ambitious target of increasing bilateral trade to $5 billion over the next 5 years. Prime Minister Modi called for collaboration between Jordan's digital payment system and India's unified payments interface. Jordan remains an important supplier of fertilizers to India, particularly phosphates, and companies from both nations are in discussions for further investment in Jordan to meet India's growing demand of phosphatic fertilizers. The leaders also shared perspectives on regional developments and global issues, reiterating the importance of restoring peace and stability in the region. Prime Minister Modi reaffirmed India's support for efforts to achieve durable peace in the area. 5 memorandum of understanding were finalized during the visit, which include culture, renewable energy, water management, digital public infrastructure, and a twinning arrangement between Petra and Ellora. This is Vinod Kumar for Akashvani News from Amman.
Prime Minister Modi will attend Jordan-India Business Forum on the second day of his visit today. On the second leg of his visit to the three nations, Prime Minister Narendra Modi will reach Addis Ababa, capital of Ethiopia, this evening for a 2-day visit. We have a report.
This will be Prime Minister Narendra Modi's first visit to Ethiopia, but second to the African continent in this month. Prime Minister Modi is scheduled to hold talks with Ethiopian Prime Minister Dr. Abiy Ahmed Ali, a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, on entire gamut of issues of bilateral importance in Addis Ababa, which is also the headquarter of African Union. In 2023, during India's G20 presidency, the African Union was admitted as a permanent member of the G20. The visit reaffirms the shared commitment of both countries as partner in the Global South to strengthening friendship and expanding bilateral cooperation. Investments from India, agriculture, mining, digital public infrastructure, solar alliance and cyber security are expected to be among the key areas on the agenda for discussion. Prime Minister Narendra Modi will also address a joint session of the Ethiopian Parliament. Sushil Chandra Tiwari, Akashwani News, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
India and Ethiopia share a long history of partnership in the sector of education, skilling and capacity building. India has been offering scholarship and training opportunities to Ethiopian students and professionals through various scholarships. Talking to Akashwani News, Indian Ambassador to Ethiopia, Anil Kumar Rai, said many presidents or vice presidents, which are equivalent to vice chancellors or registrars of Indian universities in Ethiopia, have studied in India under ICCR and other government-sponsored scholarship schemes.
There was a time when the teachers from primary school to postdoctoral level were of Indian origin. But with time, we transferred our skills to the Ethiopians. Certainly, education has been a very important area in the relations between the two countries. And I'm very happy to tell you that either president, vice president or registrar of 20 universities have studied in India. The Ethiopians are as excited about the arrival of the prime minister as we are because they also consider him their leader.
Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman has said India is becoming the fastest growing major economy with the 8.2% growth rate as against the 3.2% of the global growth. She said every global institution is raising the growth outlook for the country in the current fiscal. The Finance Minister said this in the Lok Sabha during her reply to the supplementary demands for grants for 2025-26 yesterday.
While the global growth is 3.2%, India is growing at 8.2% last quarter, becoming the fastest growing major economy. Every institution is raising our growth outlook for this year and for the forthcoming year. No debt economy gets a credit rating upgrade by DBRS, S&P and R&I.
India's unemployment rate declined to 4.7% in November this year at its lowest level since April for individuals aged 15 years and above. According to the Ministry of Statistics and Program Implementation, monthly labour force and unemployment data, rural unemployment eased to a new low of 3.9%, while urban unemployment fell to 6.5%, matching the lowest reading recorded earlier this year. The National Investigation Agency, NIA, has filed a charge sheet in connection with the April 22nd Pahalgam terror attack in special NIA court in Jammu yesterday. The agency said in a statement that it has charge sheeted 7 accused in the case, including the Pakistan-based Laskar-e-Taiba and his affiliate, the Resistance Front, TRF, as a terrorist organization. The NIA said that the attack involved religion-based targeted killings carried out by Pakistan-sponsored terrorists and resulted in the deaths of 25 tourists and one local civilian. The NIA has said in the charge sheet that Laskar-e-Taiba chief Hafiz Saeed and TRF head Habibullah Malik, also known as Sajid Jatt, were involved in the planning and executing the April 22nd attack. This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates around the clock, follow us on X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download News on AIR app. President Draupadi Murmu will embark on a 7-day visit to Karnataka, Tamil Nadu and Telangana today. In Karnataka, the president will inaugurate the 1066th Jayanti celebrations of Adi Jagadguru Sri Shivarat Rishwara Shiva Yogi Mahaswamiji at Mallavalli today. President will be in Tamil Nadu tomorrow, where she will perform darshan and aarti at the Golden Temple, Vellore. President Draupadi Murmu did not give her assent to the West Bengal University Laws Amendment Bill 2022, which had proposed to make Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee the Chancellor of all state universities. As per the existing system, the Bengal Governor C.V. Ananda Bose is the Chancellor of all state universities. The Viksit Bharat Siksha Adhisthan Bill 2025, which was introduced in the Lok Sabha yesterday, has been referred to the Joint Committee of Parliament, JPC, for further scrutiny. The bill aims to empower the universities and other higher education institutions to achieve excellence in teaching, learning, research and innovation. The Sustainable Harnessing and Advancement of Nuclear Energy for Transforming India Bill 2025 was introduced in the Lok Sabha yesterday. The bill is aimed at the development of nuclear energy and ionizing radiation for nuclear power generation for the welfare of the countrymen. The draft electoral rolls under the first phase of Special Intensive Revision SIR will be published in West Bengal today. Before the draft voters list gets published, the commission appointed special roll observers who are scrutinizing the work in many assembly constituencies in the state. In UN Security Council, India sharply criticized Pakistan's domestic political situation, flagging Islamabad for jailing former Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan and allowing its armed forces to engineer a constitutional coup through the new 27th Amendment. The amendment grants lifetime immunity to its Chief of Defence Forces, Asim Munir, referring to Pakistan's democratic crisis during the UNSC open debate on leadership for peace yesterday. India's permanent representative to the UN, Harish Parvathaneni, said Islamabad has a unique way of respecting the will of its people.
Pakistan, of course, has a unique way of respecting the will of its people by jailing a prime minister, by banning the ruling political party, and by letting its armed forces engineer a constitutional coup through the 27th Amendment and giving lifetime immunity to its chief of defense forces. Let me be clear. India will counter Pakistan-sponsored terrorism in all its forms and manifestations with all its might.
The nation is celebrating Vijay Diwas today to commemorate India's victory over Pakistan in the 1971 war. Every year on this day, the nation remembers the ultimate sacrifice of the brave hearts whose stories inspire every Indian and remain a source of national pride. It was on this day in 1971, the chief of the Pakistani forces, General A.A. Khan Niazi, along with 93,000 troops, had surrendered unconditionally to the Allied forces. Bangladesh is celebrating Victory Day today, marking the most historic and cherished day for the nation. On this day in 1971, Bangladesh achieved independence after a nine-month-long war of liberation, ending Pakistani occupation. A layer of dense fog blanketed Delhi, causing disruption to flight and train services in the national capital. The fog, accompanied by cold winds, made the early hours quite chilly for residents. Several flights are delayed at Indira Gandhi International Airport in Delhi due to fog. Passengers have been requested to contact the airline concerned for updated flight information. Several trains are also running late at New Delhi Railway Station. According to the IMD, Delhi recorded 11 degrees Celsius temperature at 6 a.m. today.
Delhi NCR woke up to a thick blanket of smog today, causing disruption to flight and train services in the national capital. While the air quality has shown slight improvement, it remains in the very poor category, down from the earlier severe level. According to the Central Pollution Control Board, the average air quality index of the national capital was recorded at 381 as of 7 a.m. today. Several flights have been delayed at Indira Gandhi International Airport as visibility across the city reduced due to smog. Passengers have been requested to contact the airline concerned for updated flight information. Several trains are also running late at New Delhi Railway Station. According to weather agency, Delhi recorded 11 degrees Celsius temperature in the morning hours today. Pallavi Parmar, Akashwani News, Delhi.
The India Meteorological Department has forecast dense to very dense fog conditions over Madhya Pradesh and Uttar Pradesh today. The IMD said that isolated pockets of Punjab, Haryana, Chandigarh, Delhi and Himachal Pradesh will experience dense fog conditions during the early hours till tomorrow. In Under-19 Asia Cup cricket, India will take on Malaysia in the third group stage match at the 7th Stadium, Dubai today. The match will begin at 10:30 a.m. Indian time. A total of 8 Asian teams are competing across 2 groups. India has been placed in Group A along with hosts UAE, Pakistan and Malaysia. Top 2 teams from both the groups will qualify for the semi-finals. The final match will be played on Sunday. And now for a look at today's newspapers, it's over to Renu Kataria.
Thank you, Abhishek. Prime Minister Modi arrives in Jordan to boost ties with Arab nation, leads the statesman. Modi's grave slogan at Congress rally triggers storm in Parliament, states the Tribune. In generational change, Nitin Nabin becomes BJP working president, informs the Hindu. Government says GRAMG to Rural Employment Guarantee Scheme, reports the Pioneer. Gracias Delhi, Messi wraps up his 3-day India trip with visit to capital, notes Hindustan Times. And finally, Delhi AQI hits 498, skyline disappears into grey haze, says Financial Express, while the Times of India quotes the Supreme Court as saying, rich people's lifestyle, reason for pollution. And with that, it's back to you, Abhishek.
Thank you, Renu. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Prime Minister Narendra Modi holds delegation-level talks with Jordan's King Abdullah II bin Al Hussein in Amman, emphasizes the common approach to counter-terrorism. Indian economy growing at 8.2% against 3.2% global growth, says Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman. NIA finds charge sheet against 7 accused in Pahalgam terror attack case. India's unemployment rate declines to 4.7% in November, lowest since April. Vijay Diwas has been celebrated today, commemorating India's victory over Pakistan in the 1971 war. And in Under-19 Asia Cup cricket, India to take on Malaysia in Dubai this morning. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and News on AIR app. And with that, we end the morning news. Have a nice day.